Devotees, the subject of the discourse today is ego. What is this ego? It is the creation of I and mine in one's mind. Buddha refers to the five grasping groups, which contributes to the creation of a being in one. The five grasping groups are, as I explained to you earlier, is the production of the consciousness. We possess six sense bases, and experiences we gain through the six sense bases are felt as a result of the creation of a thought. In the process of the creation of the thought, there is also a delusion created in the mind that there is a being within one. This being is created in the mind as a result of the five grasping groups, which are grasping group of form, grasping group of feeling, grasping group of perception, grasping group of volitional activity, and the grasping group of consciousness. These five grasping groups are the same as the five mental factors which the consciousness produced to create the thought to experience an object through a sense space. They are the very mental factors and not something introduced from outside. Around the body of the person who experienced the object through any sense base, a delusion is created that there is a being existing who feels, who perceives, who performs a function of the sense base activity in the nature of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking. And these activities are again created in the mind in the very act of the creation of the thought as a delusion. The delusion makes one feel that there is a person within one who commits these acts, whereas there is no such person. And all activity is committed by any individual in the experiencing of sense objects are the result of cause and effect. This creation of the delusion of a being within you is named in Pali as the Sakkaya Ditti, pertaining to your body. Fourth view is created in you, that there is a being living in the worldling. And the Sakkaya Ditti is also defined as the five grasping groups. This is how a worldling acts, always creating an author within him who performs the functions of a worldling, such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking. The Sakkaya Ditti, or the personality belief, one would say, is a fetter that has to be got rid of as a requirement to the entry into the stream. That is stream enterer, the first stage of development along the path. And what do we do to get rid of this force we create in the worldling about a being present in him? After the devotee has developed his mind in the absorption, the first, the second, the third, and the fourth, he has achieved the ability to look into anything in depth, to understand something which is not on the surface but found in depth, to investigate clearly an object, and to realize the true nature of the object. Also, this developed in the mind in absorptions clearly enables one to understand and live in the three realities of life, impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things, and the soullessness. After he has completed the development of the mind in concentration, then we divert the yogi, the devotee, to develop within him the necessary qualities to get rid of the fetters. There are three fetters which a devotee has to get rid of to enter the stream. The three fetters are, first, the belief a worldling has that there is a being within him called the Sakkaya Ditti. Second is doubt. And the third is beliefs in other cults and other practices which normally an average person would pursue. Once these three are cleared from his mind, then he practices the realization of impermanence, which will lead him to the fruition of the stream entry. The instructions we give to a devotee to overcome this belief of a person being in him, Sakkaya Ditti, is to observe every movement carefully, so to say, live in full mindfulness. Always peeping within him to find out what is exactly happening. Then he realizes that every activity he commits is the result of a direction given by the mind. Originally he thought that it is somebody in authority who directs his activities. But now when he observes his mind carefully, inwardly directing his thinking, he sees that prior to any commitment by the body in the nature of an act, there is a thought arising and the thought directs the body to perform that act. This he observes in motion, in activity, not just thinking. Therefore it becomes a realistic knowledge in him that there is no person as such directing an individual to perform activities, but there is the mind directing the body to perform activities and the body performs such activities. When this reality gets well rooted in his mind, he dispels the false view he had that there is a being within him. In addition to this exercise, we also ask him to analyze carefully every activity as cause and effect. And that too he realizes in motion more often than just sitting and thinking about it. And he feels clearly that there is no activity the body commits without the mind directing the body. Therefore, the thought that arises direct in the body is the cause. And the action he commits by the body is its effect. This further confirms the belief he had created that there is no person within him. As a result of mindfully observing what is happening within him in all activities, and finally realizing that the body cannot perform any activity without being directed by the mind, except breathing. This dispels the gross view he had of a being being present in him, and it is this being who is responsible for all activities committed by the devotee. May I say this is gross, though it is pertaining to the body more, or bodily acts more than anything else, or pertaining to the view that has been created around the body one possesses, that the body is the being that is committing these activities? This is, so to say, the outer aspect of the delusion created by the five grasping groups. This is what one obviously sees from outside, without peeping much into the depth of it. There is a thought arising and an act committed as a result of the thought. Quite an obvious thing. And there is also the thought becoming the cause for an act committed by the body as a result or effect. This is the personality aspect of a being living in one who is responsible for all activities. Is something in the nature of a gross view one has, which the five grasping groups has created. Now, once one has got rid of these, then he has the ability to enter the first stage of development along the path to the attainment of Nibbana, and that is stream entry. The second stage of development is once return, and the third stage of development is non-return. In these two defilements, I should say, in these two distinct states of development along the path, the defilement one has to got rid of is attachment and aversion, which are the result of desire. The devotee is directed along the path to understand realistically how one develops desire. An explanation is given that the spontaneous activity of the mind in the way of performing activities of the sense bases by the creation of a thought does not create desire, but it is a subsequent creation of thoughts pursuing what is pleasant and thereby creating attachment, or pursuing what is unpleasant, because that is in the way of creating an aversion to the disappointment experienced by the devotee on not being able to satisfy his thirst for pleasure. These two extremes of creating aversion and attachment that promotes desire. This has been distinctly stated by Buddha, that the desire is maintained as a result of the two extremes. One falls into of either creating an attachment or creating an aversion. And these two activities are not the direct result of a thought being created to perform the activity of sense base, but are the direct results of the creation of unnecessary thoughts connected with the object one has experienced through the sense base. In the way of one liking the object and perceiving the like to enjoy it and creating an attachment, or when it is to one's dislike, pursuing that dislike to create an aversion because one is disappointed in the way of not being able to satisfy his desire, his attachment. These two extremes of aversion and attachment, attachment that lead to the promotion of desire. Now, in this connection, the four foundations of mindfulness directs one to observe the body as something which one must get rid of. From being attached to, and this result is brought about by impressing upon oneself the impure nature of the body, one's body and the body of another. There are other subjects of meditation pursuing the same course of action, finally resulting in that one clears the mind from the grasping of the body, so to say, the attachment towards the body. Once that is done, Buddha in the four foundations of mindfulness refers to the foundation of mindfulness on feelings and the foundation of mindfulness on thought to clearly understand the creation of desire by pursuing the feelings and pursuing thoughts to fall into any one of the two extremes of aversion or attachment. And this is dispelled by analyzing all experiences one gains through the creation of thought as impermanent. In our direction, we promote devotees to watch the mind carefully and analyze every thought that arises in the mind, and treat such thoughts as impermanent, unsatisfactory and soulless, thereby not permitting the thoughts subsequently created as a result of an experience gained through a sense base to promote desire. Thereby, the devotee, once he maintains complete silence in the mind, he attained these two heights of one return and non-return. Thereafter, his most important task is to get rid of the beliefs he has lived in, which have promoted this worldly life, and also to overcome this creation of I and mind within him. The creation of I and mind within him is the ego. In regard to the action you took at the early stages of getting rid of this personality belief in you, you analyzed the activities carefully in the way of mind and matter. Further, you analyze the activities as cause and effect. And I suggested that it is a gross result of the arising of the five grasping groups in you. And the gross belief has been created around your physical form as the person who is living in you as the being responsible for all your activities. One would ask the question, when Buddha has clearly analyzed this whole being within you, created by the five grasping groups, is Sakkāya-ditti? And Sakkāya-ditti is the first fetter that one has to get rid of in order to enter the stream. Why in the four foundations of mindfulness, Buddha has not promoted you to practice the impermanence on the five grasping groups, but has made it an exercise necessary in the latter part of your development, in the attainment of the fourth stage of Anagami, Arihat, attainment of Arahatthood? Doesn't that clearly indicate, though the five grasping groups has promoted this fourth view in you as the being present in you, you have only got rid of the gross belief one creates in the mind about this so-called being, which has been built around his gross body. That so-called being possessing this body is the being who is responsible for all the activities committed by you. And this gross development personality belief in one has been got rid of by analyzing the mind and body, which are the two conspicuous divisions of this so-called being. To convince yourself that this body and mind do not create a being, but they perform activities such as thinking and committing physical acts. In regard to the body, physical acts are committed only when the mind directs the body. And with regard to thinking, on its own, the mind thinks. Therefore, in the first instance, in getting rid of this fetter Sakkāya-ditti, you looked into the aspect of the personality, the physical activity of this so-called being. That is why we directed our mind in analyzing all our activities as body and mind, functions of the body as directed by the mind, and also all such activities as causally created, the cause being the creation of a thought and the activity the result of the creation of that thought. It's quite obvious that it is the gross nature of that creation of the being within us that made us to be convinced that there is the body and the mind and nobody else. But this ego refers to something deeper than that. It refers to I being the person responsible, fixing upon yourself as I the person responsible for all your activities, and there is a possessor, mind, created by the I itself. Now it is clearly a false view. Ego is nothing but a bundle of thoughts. Why do you say that it is a bundle of thoughts? Ego is created as a result of thoughts created by you to experience things through the six sense bases. And In this very act also the delusion is created that there is a being by the five grasping groups. And we have dealt with the gross aspect of the delusion centered around the body. But the inner, so to the spirit of that false delusion, is the creation of this I as the person responsible for all activities. And along with the I, his possession comes, mind. Buddha did not, in the early stages of getting rid of the personality aspect, which is the gross nature of this creation of the being, to develop any meditation on the five grasping groups. In the foundation of mindfulness and the development of the mind to the highest stage of development, of attainment, he directs you in the first instance to examine your mind carefully so that you get rid of all hindrances from the mind. Hindrances hinder the mind developing to a higher state in the way of concentration. One. In the way of realization of the truth, two. Of creating wisdom in you. Therefore, you first clear the hindrances out of the mind. And then he analyzes the five grasping groups as impermanent, unsatisfactory and soulless. And that is a clear indication. He is directing you to get rid of this subtle creation of the I within you. This subtle creation is also created by the five grasping groups. The I is gross nature being the personality which you got rid of as Sakka Aditi. Now this I and mind, which is the ego, is something formed in depth. And after analyzing the five grasping groups as impermanent, unsatisfactory and soulless, what you are expected to do is to carefully understand step by step as cause and effect the creation of a thought in you to experience activities by the eye in seeing a visual object, activities by the ear in hearing sounds, activities by the nose in experiencing smells, activities by the nose in by the tongue in experiencing taste, activities by the body in experiencing contacts, and activities by the mind in creating thoughts. Carefully analyze these as step by step. Why should this be done? The object of doing this is to satisfy yourself that the thought is not created by this ego as I created the thought, I saw, I see, I smelled, that sort of thing. But all the activities of the sense basis are committed as a result of a thought being created. And the thought is created as a result of cause and effect. That convinces you that there is no person as such who is doing these things as an author of all such activity, and there is no I and mind there. It's a direct attack to get rid of this creation of I and mind in the creation of thought to enable you to experience the activities of the sixth sense basis. Thoughts are created in us in connection with these sixth sense basis. From the time we get up to the time we go to sleep, is one mass of creation of thoughts, which help you to see, hear, smell, taste, contact and think. One after the other, these incidents occur. And the mind is kept busy in the creation of thoughts to enable to experience these activities. And the five grasping groups do perform their task. in placing this delusion in your mind that there is the author for all these activities and that is yourself. The result is that this mass of thoughts created by the six sense bases, they automatically create within you, you as the author, I. With the I arises mind. That is why Buddha distinctly said, to get rid of this ego, one has to clearly understand the functioning of the six sense bases in the creation of thoughts. Thereby, clearly making it visible for you that thoughts are created as a result of cause and effect and not by any individual person. The experience you gain through a sense base is just a thought only. And such thoughts are not created by an individual but as cause and effect created. Also, ego is more often developed as a result of referring to past incidents. When one lives in the past, one naturally has to use the word I. I saw, I heard, I smelt, I tasted, I contacted, and I thought. For a person who is very often referring to the past and living in the past, his ego is very strong. But by now you have come to a stage that you have kept the mind silent, not promoting thoughts of past activities reflect in you and create a situation in the mind. By this time, with this development, you are enjoying peace in mind. Your mind is more silent than active. It is peaceful. And even if a thought arises, you know how that has arisen. And you also know the value of the thought that has arisen in the way of impermanent, unsatisfactory and soulless. By such activity, in carefully maintaining the mind quiet, in a quiet manner, peaceful, not permitting unnecessary thoughts to occur, you are transcending the mind to a higher state. This fourth view of the ego arising little by little vanishes from that peaceful mind. As a result of you not promoting thoughts to occur with the I as the author of such activity, more and more your mind is peaceful, less and less the ego reacts in you. The ego tends to vanish. The ego is maintained in full strength as a result of your permitting the mind to create more and more thoughts. Now you are not creating thoughts. You enjoy more peace than anything else. Complete silence in the mind has enabled you to get rid of the creation of the ego in every thought that is created in you. There are no thoughts now created. The performance, the activity, the six sense bases are carried on, but you are fully aware by now that there is no person as such who is committing these activities. That peace that you bring about, that peace that you maintain in the mind, the silence, complete silence, enables you to get rid of the ego. As I told you, ego arises when you think more and more and live in the past. Now that you have got rid of living in the past and fix the activities of the mind to maintain a silent attitude without promoting any unnecessary thoughts to occur, you are step by step getting rid of this ego. Ego loses its strength. Ego maintains its strength when you create more and more unnecessary thoughts. As I told you, it is a bundle of thoughts and nothing else. One would attribute that to a habit created in the mind of creating more and more thoughts with an author in it. Now you realize every thought is a cause and effect and nothing more, that there is no author in any such activity. That realization and the maintenance of silence in the mind enables you to get rid of the ego. The peace that you maintain in the mind, the silence, it enables you to realize the true nature of yourself. That these so-called thoughts that we created in connection to six sense bases, which are not the thoughts that promote the activity of the bases, but promoted the subsequent creation of attachment and aversion, are absolutely not necessary for one's existence. Without aversion and attachment created in your mind by subsequent thinking, you can perform all activities meant by the worldling. You can see, that's all. You can hear, smell, taste, contact, and think without further creation of unnecessary thoughts, and thereby promoting the ego, promoting the aversion and attachment. I also emphasize the fact that in silencing the mind, you have stopped the creation of activity in the mind after an experience gained through a sense base, which leads to the promotion of attachment to aversion. In getting rid of the ego, what you have done is, once you have come to that stage of keeping the mind silent after each activity that occurs in experiencing something through a thin sense base, now you are not permitting the mind to fall back to old experiences and reflecting on them as, I did this, I saw it, I heard that sort of thing. And I emphasize again, it is the past reflection of past experiences that promotes the ego more. When your immediate creation of thoughts after every experience you gain through a sense-based create desire, and when such activity is completely stopped and you maintain the silent attitude in the mind, the creation of incidents of the past, reflecting on them, that promotes the ego. Therefore, if you maintain complete silence in the mind without allowing even reflections of the past to occur, you overcome this ego. Ego has been created, one should say, by the five grasping groups. Though the five grasping groups' immediate outcome is Sakkāyadiṭṭhi, false view you have that there is a being in you, and you get rid of this so-called creation in the mind of a false being by analyzing the body and the mind and its activities well, and satisfying yourself that every act you commit is causally created, finally created, the subsequent finer creation of the ego in your mind, as I and mine, that too is an outcome of the five grasping groups. In getting rid of the being that is created in you, the five grasping groups, we only analyze our activities carefully and satisfied ourselves that there is no being who commits these activities except mind and matter and the cause and effect. A direct approach given to get rid of I and mind in the Dhammanupassana and the fourth foundation of mindfulness is the meditation that is given to reflect on the five grasping groups independently as impermanent, unsatisfactory, soulless. And that indicates that the five grasping groups has created this depth in the mind in the creation of an imaginary being as I living in you. And that is the most subtle aspect of the personality. The subtle aspect is the creation of this I within you with the accompaniment of mind. And the gross aspect of this five grasping groups created by the consciousness in the mind is the personality that we dealt with at the very inception to get rid of this fetter, Sakkāyadiṭṭhi. To summarize The action you should take in order to get rid of this ego is to keep the mind peaceful and silent, free of thinking. More thoughts you occur, or you create, and the majority of those such thoughts refer to the past incidents and not the future and the present. And differently, the past incidents naturally create the I as the author of such activity. Therefore, the shortest cut, most effective means of getting rid of ego is to keep the mind silent. Live with a peaceful mind, with no thoughts occurring. And that is the awareness of the impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things and the soullessness at the present moment. The past is over. Future is yet to come. There's no purpose in reflecting on the past or the future. But you are involved with the present. And in the present moment, what you are doing is you are keeping your mind in front of you, so to say, not permitting the mind to reflect on something in the past or to catch something in the future. Placing your mind in the present moment, maintaining deep silence, being fully aware of all impermanence, fully aware of the impermanent nature of things, the unsatisfactory nature of things, and the soullessness. In that condition, can you create any thought? You are in the present moment mindfully maintaining the three realities of life. Your maturity and concentration has enabled you to do that. You have a controlled mind now. And this controlled mind is enabling you to live in the present moment. So to say, keeping your mind in front of you and living in full awareness of the impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things, the soullessness. When that get deepened, the ego that has been playing in you as a result of giving it full freedom to create thoughts and thereby create the ego, you have got rid of those circumstances and you will live now in peace. Having got rid of the false views created by the five grasping roots, the delusion created in the consciousness itself, and the subsequent development of this in a subtle manner in the nature of the creation of I and mind, the ego. Now you have got it as a result of maintaining complete silence in front of you of the present moment and living mindfully in it. This has got rooted very well in your mind. That wherever you go, whatever place you be, whether you be in the midst of a crowd, or walking along a busy street, but you are always living in silence. One would ask the question, could this be done? I ask you the question then, when you walk along the road, how many of you are aware that you are walking along the road? Your mind is busily engaged in many things connected with the past or the future. And you do not know that you are walking along that busy street. But in this instance, you have a silent mind, not concerned about what is happening around you. In the worldly way, you are deep in silence. And unconcerned you walk as a peaceful being. And that is the result of getting rid of ego. And you reach that stage, brothers and sisters, after you have entered the third stage of non-returner, And when you proceed to practice the balance exercises in meditation, the fourth foundation of mindfulness, ego, to summarize, is not something that exists in your mind as a natural outcome of your mind or of your consciousness. It is something which you have created as a belief. And this action you took, and the final positive step you took to keep the mind in the present moment, living completely in mindfulness of what is happening now, not thinking but in silence, has finally led you to the giving up of your ego. If you carefully pursue the instruction given by Buddha in the fourth foundation of mindfulness, by the time you reach the stage of analyzing your sense-based activities as a creation of a thought, step by step as causally created, that enables you to reach that silent zone in the mind. And that is the zone which you enjoy once you have given up your ego. And that is, you are well on the path to the final attainment of Nibbana. And after this, your practice will be the seven factors of enlightenment which promotes your mind to a state of tranquility from where you develop your attainment to arahatthood. Thank you very much.